Are you tired of cheesy, shallow Christian t-shirts? So are we, and that's why I am excited to share Grace and Glory Creative with you. It's a small, family-run shop where every design is both beautiful and biblically faithful. As a grateful homemaker and homeschooling mom, she wanted to create something that truly honored God. With the support of her husband and two boys, they have spent the past year designing shirts, mugs, hats, and more that reflect the truths that we hold dear: biblical womanhood, Reformed theology, Christ-centered living. She has Easter designs that are now available, with Homeschool Mom and Abortion Abolition collections coming this spring. They carry a wide range of sizes, from newborn onesies all the way to 3XL, so you can find something for your whole family. Her top priority is her family, but she also cares deeply about her customers and strives to provide excellent products and services. We would love for you to take a look at their shop, so visit Grace and Glory today. Enter FRUITFUL15 for 15% off of your purchase at checkout. That's FRUITFUL15. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, here with Jared, my husband, today.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic.
And we are going to chat a little bit about homeschooling in Illinois and the proposed bill that might change things for homeschooling in Illinois in the upcoming years. And also, we just got back from the homeschool convention, so we thought that it might be fun to chat a little bit about homeschooling and trusting the Lord.
Yes. First, we really enjoy homeschooling.
Yes. Yes. And we really enjoy the homeschool convention. We go to that every year. This year was a little different. Should we tell them about our...
It's up to you.
Our adventure this
year.
It
wasn't me that was rapping.
So, Oak and I got food poisoning this year at the homeschool convention. So, it was a little bit different of an experience than we usually have. It's usually super fun. And Jared and I, have we ever gone just the two of us? I think 1 year.
One year
is just the two of us. Usually there's a baby along. But this year, Jared and I and Oak went, and we got there on Thursday, went out to eat Thursday early afternoon, and then by Thursday evening, Oak and I were very sick with food poisoning.
I was feeling great.
Thank God.
Which was critical.
Yeah. Thank the Lord that you got a different meal than he and I shared, because it would have been even worse.
It was bad.
It was a pretty off.
It all culminated at about 2 a.m, and we had to call the front desk because every towel... Every sheet and comforter was full of...
Baby vomit.
And mama vomit.
No, I didn't puke on the bed any.
Oh, yeah. Baby vomit. Just kidding. Yeah. And it ended up being all over me.
Yeah.
And had a shower in the middle of the night. And then the gentleman that came in to help everything was like dropping F-bombs and stuff.
Because he was not enjoying our presence at the hotel.
Or his job.
I have no idea why.
Yeah. He didn't like his job in that moment. I was apologizing. Sorry, sir.
We are so sorry.
I ended up...
Food poisoning.
It was bad. I saw him the next day in the elevator, and I said, you were the guy that helped us out last night. He said, oh, he was in a much better mood.
He's like, that was you.
Yes. It was. Sorry, sir.
At one point, there was, you know, when a baby is vomiting, it's just the worst thing that you can imagine, and there's no good way to handle it. And so in the middle of the night, you know, we got like towels down on the bed, and we had the lights out because we were hoping to fall back asleep. And I hear the cough that means puke is seconds away. And I hurry and like grab a towel and I'm putting it in front of his little face trying to catch the vomit. And instead, I just did like a perfect pie in the face maneuver where he vomits and puts his face down and I'm pulling the towel up and just, you know, perfectly smash his face in his own puke. And Jared turns the lamp on and the poor baby is just like,
the weird thing is
all over his face and head. And it was so sad.
Somehow I had that same towel over my whole body and had him on top of me thinking this will protect me. If this happens,
there's no protection.
It will protect me. And then as the lights come on, I look down and not only is it all over his face, but somehow it was like the towel wasn't even there. And my whole body just had, I mean, it was just puke.
Yeah. I texted Becky. I was like, have you ever destroyed a hotel room with baby vomit? Because I have now.
Yeah, it was an experience she was that like, we will remember.
You can mark that on your parent bingo card now.
That's right.
So, yeah, it was a good time. But we felt better the next morning. And, well, I mean, not all the way better, but we felt better. Luckily, we were there for 3 days. Oak was, like, totally fine the next morning. It took me till probably noon and through the help of a friend with some medicine that was there. But we did get to go to the expo hall. We did get to hit a few sessions at the convention that were fun. We always listened to Massey Campos, and he did some fun talks that we enjoyed on history. The one that I really wanted to listen to from Martin Cochran, I didn't get to go to, but a friend took notes on. He's the one who got me into reading some really fun books that would have previously intimidated me way too much. And he turned me on to at reading Anna Karenina, and then this year reading Kristen Lavin's Daughter, which I really enjoyed both of those books, and neither one of them would I probably have picked up on my own. So I enjoy going to the homeschool convention for inspiration like that. And then this year he did another session on books that Mallory took notes on for me since I wasn't able to make it. But any other session that we went to?
We didn't go to any.
Yeah, I think there was only like one more that we went to. So yeah, we mainly enjoyed the expo hall this year.
Well, we've talked a lot about homeschooling in the past, both on my podcast and on Jordan's podcast. And so it's not going to be a surprise why we homeschool, our convictions. We believe it's a responsibility of parents to raise their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We do not believe a formal education is a human right or even a right that the state should mandate, but it is a privilege. And the Bible teaches clearly that the student will be like the teacher. So very early on in our marriage, even before we were married, I was convicted of by reading Bodhi Bakum about not giving our kids to Caesar and then being surprised when they come back Romans. And so I grew up with a public school teacher. As a mother, you grew up with your father being a public school teacher, and don't, you know, want to be disparaging about, you know, the great men and women who have taught in the school system. But the system for us, we've seen, is something we didn't want to put our children in, and things have changed so much. Things have changed so much over the years that it's a different experience for students today. So our conviction is that Christian education is the obligation of Christian parents to their children. And the route we've taken is homeschooling. And one of the great things about living in Illinois is that you've not had to report anything from the very beginning.
Right? Yeah, for the weird state that Illinois is, it has been very lenient on homeschooling.
Right. So most states, I think more than half the states in the United States have to report to a local school system if you're going to be homeschooling. You have to submit some sort of form. You got to go to some sort of standardized testing over the years or through the years.
People have to report hours and things like that.
So you keep a log and you want to make sure you have everything there. It's almost like keeping miles for your taxes at the end of the year. So you just keep a log of what you do just in case somebody comes knocking on your door or you have to report something to the state. So that's really not abnormal. But what we're talking about with the state of Illinois is some changes that is being proposed as if it's very much in line with other states. This is just what other states are doing. We just want to be in line with these other states. It's abnormal that we do nothing. But one of the things we have to be aware of in the state of Illinois is that we're moving from not just incremental progress, but we're moving from literally no regulations to some of the strictest, if not the strictest, regulations that's being proposed in the whole nation. So it needs to be stated. I think there's been a lot of almost fear-mongering. I think there is, you know, wisdom we have to walk in. I think, honestly, the only thing that would ever make me consider moving from the state of Illinois is if the state was wanting to kick our door down and put our kids in government school or something like that, which would be terrible. That's not what this is proposing at this point. But you could see how it could pave the way for some terrible things down the road. So what we're going to talk about is not being afraid, but being informed. And obviously, we're to not fear. And, you know, Jordan's even recently talked about this, and not fearing anything that's frightening. So we don't want to be afraid or fearmongers about the possibility, but we do want to be informed. And so we want to inform you a little bit and, you know, maybe get some encouragement along the way.
Yeah. And I think the big thing for me is just not being distracted by what could happen and just knowing that our duties remain the same no matter what's happening with government or regulations or anything that happens with government officials. Like that doesn't affect what God has called me to do in the home with my children.
Right.
So knowing that sometimes my job may be harder based on who is in political authority or anything like that. And sometimes my job may be easier, but just knowing that my job is to honor the Lord and obey him in all that I do. So whatever happens with this proposed bill, just knowing that it's my job to trust the Lord and do what he's called me to do and not be distracted or fearful about this and not let it do what the enemy would want it to do and make me fearful.
Yeah. So the bill that we're talking about, it moved out of committee. There were 1,500 bills, over 1,500 bills that moved out of committee. So this doesn't mean that a proposed bill is going to be put into law in the state of Illinois. There's so many bills that are proposed that go out of committee every single year. Very small majority or small minority of them actually go in and are voted on and actually become law. This similar bills have been proposed in the past that did not go through. I don't think this is going to go through this time. I think it is kind of paving the way, laying some foundation stones for further regulations down the road, but I don't think this is going to happen right now. So just to be clear, this is we're talking about HB 2827. You can look this up. It's the 104th General Assembly. The bill status is moved out of committee. It's called the Homeschool Act, and there are amendments to previous things. The synopsis is going to be readable at, we can put this website in the link in the show notes, actually. Just follow the link and you can just read this for yourself. But long story short, we're going to have to, if it goes into law, submit a form to your local school, wherever your local school is that you pay taxes for, where your students would go. You would submit a form informing them that you are now homeschooling. If you don't do this, this is what's unique, is in this proposed bill, unique to Illinois, it's a criminal offense if you don't submit this proper paperwork. In other states, it's not a criminal offense. You can get fined in some states, but you can't get your children taken away. You can't get reported to DCFS. There are other factors that are in play. But the penalties applying in this particular case is if you don't fill out the paperwork, your truancy officer can actually report you, and you can have your children removed from your home if you actually don't do this. I think there's going to be a lot of non-compliance of this when it comes to the sheriffs and the school systems, depending upon what county you're in, very similar to the gun bills that have been in play where the sheriffs have said, we're not going to enforce this kind of thing. But you do need to know what's coming down the line. That's what they're actually talking about. And then from that point on, after you submit the paperwork, then they're supposed to have some sort of regulatory commission at that local school that oversees then the homeschoolers, oversees their curriculum. I have no idea how they're going to have the infrastructure to do this, but then they're supposed to oversee the curriculum and the process in the progress of the students in the homeschool. Now, the funny thing is they can't even oversee the progress of their own students at the government school. The government school reading levels and all this is being pitched as protecting children. It's all a farce. It's all ridiculous. All this is that the tentacles of government wanting to get into homes because they hate that they don't have control over what they see as their students. They see that our children as their children, so it's wards of the state. And we have to vocally, I think, fight back against that and know that what you just said is so true, that our responsibility is to recognize that we are stewards of these children. God has given them to us. We have obligations. The state has no obligation, biblically, to educate their children. None. Education is not a right, but it is a Christian responsibility. So any thoughts, comments about that at all?
I thought maybe we could talk about what should the Christian mom and dad's response be to this, because we don't want to fear. So what should our response be to it? Obviously, prayer was my big thing. And if you have the capabilities, if God has provided an open door for you for political influence, then being proactive to do that and to take opportunities that God might open the door for. But that's not going to be the majority of us. The majority of homeschooling moms, for example, are not like in any kind of political power. So what can the moms be actively doing?
Yeah. Well, a lot of ladies at our church and the guys at our church too, we've been filling out forms, slips to know that we stand against this bill. And I think there's been like 40,000 people who have done that, which is a record number from what I understand. So that's a great thing from all over the state. People are letting Springfield know they don't like this. The homeschoolers, they're all over the state, are letting their representatives know that we are not for, you know, this proposed bill. But the other thing I think is important to understand is that people are going to come to some different conclusions here. And in London Baptist Confession, chapter 21, I just talked about the Christian liberty and liberty of Christian conscience. And when we talk about should or what is the best thing that we can do here, I think people are going to come to a different conclusion, even on, let's just say the bill becomes law. Should you submit the form or not? There's going to be some that say, we're digging our heels in, come what may, we're not doing that. We're not complying to that. And I think within a Christian community, we have to understand that there's going to be some that really do come to a convictional level on that, that they're just not going to do it. And then they're going to be willing to fight through the legal system. Others are going to say, well, they're not necessarily asking me to sin, so I'm going to submit the form, and I'm going to, you know, just trust the Lord here and trust the process that maybe this could be overturned. But regardless, I think we have to be aware of what's going on, be aware of what our responsibilities are, and continue to walk in those. And a lot of this stuff, the government red tape takes forever. So, I mean, this literally may be a proposed bill for like the next 20 years before it actually goes through, or hopefully doesn't go through. But I think what should we do is we should know what's going on. We should, you know, make our we should vocalize our concerns, and then we should make a plan. What are we going to do if this happens?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of those questions are still hanging in the air for me of, I don't exactly know yet what the proper response is going to be, but I know that there is room for differences in this. But I would say this, don't violate your conscience. When it comes to if this bill gets voted in, don't violate your conscience. Whatever we don't do in faith is sin. So we have to trust the Lord and make the best decision we can.
And I think also remembering that prayer really is an active step to take, and knowing that the king's heart is a stream in the hand of the Lord, and that if this does go through, that God has purposes in it, and that we can trust him and know that God can either 100% shut this down and make it not happen very easily, or it can go through and we can trust him and we can do our part to be faithful no matter what the circumstances are, mm-hmm. and pray and trust the Lord.
Yeah. I think if the presidential election would have went the other way and Kamala was the president, for one, it'd be a great shame. It would have been embarrassing, like a global embarrassment for us kind of thing. I would have been very, very embarrassed about it just as a man. As a Christian man, thinking like, oh my gosh, this is just the shame of that. But our responsibility in our life would still be very much the exact same thing. Follow the Lord, be a godly man, you be a godly woman, raise our children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, and we can't control some of these things. So we just have to know what are our obligations, regardless, from the Lord, what are our marching orders, and then walk faithfully in those things, and then do everything we can to appeal to, you know, public servants to do the right thing. Let our voices be heard. They work for us. We hate this proposed legislation. They really don't care about children. They really don't care about education, or they would be correcting, doing what they can to correct the foolishness that's happening at the government level, at government schools. And so there's abuse that's happening. There's neglect that's happening. People are not able to read in the government school system. You go to Chicago and see for, you know, $30,000 per student, and they literally less than a third of them can read.
And literacy rate is really low.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So I think our we have to understand that our marching orders are going to be the same. Don't act in fear. Act in wisdom and the power and authority that God has given you.
All right. Well, there's our 2 cents about the proposed bill in homeschooling. So stay faithful and man your post.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups, for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.